This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We find ourselves at this point over the halfway point of Ramadan and coming close to the ending portion, which is the portion of the month that, as we know, contains the best blessing. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, it also mentions that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, that your actions are in accordance with their ending. And it could have been for yourself that you didn't take full advantage of the first 20 days, but it's not all over for you. The best chance you had was yesterday. The second best chance you have is today to ensure that you don't lose out on the blessings of Ramadan in its entirety and ensure that we go to the end doing as much ibadah it is that we can. When it comes to our ibadah in this blessed month of Ramadan, there's one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tells us about certain individuals that don't get much out of this month. Although they might be doing the external aspects of the ibadah and the worship of this blessed month, they don't actually get the full benefit through them. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions that رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ, that there are some people that fast the month of Ramadan and they don't get anything out of it except for hunger. And there are other individuals that stand in the night prayer in the month of Ramadan and they don't get anything out of this standing except for a sleepless night. Similarly, in another capacity as well, there are other individuals that might make dua in this month of Ramadan, and the only time that they make dua in the month of Ramadan is when the imam is performing the witr prayer in the qunut, and he says, Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, and this person is saying Ameen. And his heart is not even attached to these words. They might not even know what these words mean, but they're simply saying Ameen, and that is the extent of their dua in the month of Ramadan. In today's khutbah, we'll talk about the fact that in this ending portion of this month, which is blessed in and of itself, we'll mention some of the virtues, some of the fada'il of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and specifically that of Laylatul Qadr. But prior to this, let us mention some of the ways by which we can increase in the quality of our ibadah, the quality of our salah, the quality of our qiyam, the quality of our dua, and the quality of all of our other ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month. When it comes to the first portion of this hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ, that there are many people that fast and the only thing they get out of their fasting is the fact that they are hungry. Because although they are fasting at level one. And that is the fact that they are only abstaining from food and drink, and that is about it. But when it comes to their tongue, they are still speaking ill. They are still those that are swearing and cursing and backbiting and committing all of the other sins of the tongue. When it comes to their ears, they are still listening to haram. They are still engaging in backbiting and listening to backbiting. And they are those that are not lowering their gaze. Their limbs are not fasting, although their stomach is. And for those individuals, it becomes important for us to remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he tells us that مَنْ لَمْ يَدْعَ قَوْلُ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلْ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةً أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ, that whoever does not leave false speech and ill speech and speaking ill, Allah has no need for that person to leave that which innately is halal, which is their eating and their drinking. And to this point, let us ensure that we, in this month of Ramadan, we have limited energy. And we conserve this energy for saying that which is good. As is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مَنْ صَمَتَ النَّجَاةِ, the one that does not speak, the one that decides, instead of saying something wrong, they decide to remain quiet, that person will be saved. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said that when it came to my speech, I regretted it many times. As for my silence, I never regretted it. So let us try to enact this principle of man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. The one that believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, they should say that which is good or remain silent. We also see from the lughawi meaning of this word sawm, the linguistic or etymological meaning of this word sawm, it refers to abstaining from something, whether it is kalam or ta'am. Imsakun an ash-shay', avoiding something. And Maryam alayhi salam, in fact, when it's mentioned the word sawm in the Quran with respect to her, we're mentioning this also because this is Good Friday, and we know that Isa alayhi salam belongs to this ummah. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. He was not crucified, nor was he killed, but a man was made to take his place, and he will come back as well as a believer. We believe this in our deen of Islam. Nonetheless, going back to Maryam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with respect to her, she took an oath, إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا, that I take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fast, and this was an oath that she took, that she would not eat, not speak in the Quran, as mentioned in Surah Maryam. إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. So let us ensure that we do this aspect with respect to our fasting. That we're not simply fasting with respect to our stomach, but our limbs are fasting. And this is a higher level, a higher daraj, a higher grade of our fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we ensure we get the reward of this, and we get more out of this fast of the month of Ramadan than just merely hunger. Another aspect of this as well is with respect to our ears. Ensuring that we don't listen to that which is haram. In fact, in one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned something that very few people actually enact and practice upon. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that la yuballighni ahadun min ashabi an ahadin shay'a fa inni uhibbu an akhruja ilaykum wa ana salimus sadr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his quality was that he said to his companions, none of you should convey some information to me about somebody else, some negative information, something wrong about the person, you speaking ill of them. That one companion, he might have done something or he has a certain trait or a negative characteristic. Don't convey this information to me. None of you should do this, because I like to come out to you and I have a pure heart. I have a clean heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not entertain those types of conversations. Naturally, when it comes to things that we need to know about people that might harm us, maybe we want to get our daughter married to someone, or we need to do business with someone, then it becomes important and okay for us to understand what is happening within their life or their qualities and characteristics. But the general rule as a believer is min husn al-islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the goodness of your Islam is you leave things which do not concern you. That from this month of Ramadan, also try to fast with your ears as much as you're also trying to fast with your stomach as well. The second portion of this hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ. There are some people that stand the night prayer, and they don't get anything out of it except for a sleepless night. That is the only thing that they got out of it. They might as well perhaps even have gone to sleep if their heart is so detached. In one narration from Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, he mentions that with respect to your prayer, some people get the full reward of the prayer. Their heart is fully attached and connected to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other individuals, they might get half. Other individuals, they might get a third. Other individuals, they might get a quarter. Others, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, an eighth, a ninth, a tenth. Some people might only get 1/100th of the value of the entire prayer. And it could be that a person is performing 2 raka'at of Qiyamul Layl, 2 raka'at of Taraweeh, and their heart is fully attached to these words. They did some tafsir and translation of these verses of the Quran. They know what they mean, that in their heart is humble and it understands and is connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these 2 raka'at could be worthy and worth more than a person performing the entire 20. رُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was Hudhayf ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu. He narrated the narrations pertaining to the signs of the Day of Judgment. الصراط الساعة الصغرى والكبرى. The minor and major signs of the Day of Judgment. And one particular narration, he mentions that the first thing that would get removed from the Muslim Ummah would be their khushu', and the last thing would be the salah itself. And he mentions that a time could come wherein a masjid, a large masjid, could be full of believers and there's not a single person's heart that has khushu'. In our prayer, we're thinking about our iftar and the biryani that we ate. In our prayer, we're thinking about after we're done, we're going to go home and eat our dessert. We're thinking about our suhoor. We're thinking about our work. We're thinking about sports games. We're thinking about entertainment. entertainment. We're thinking about the person we had a fight with in the parking lot, but we're not connected with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, رُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهْوُ. What are one of the cures to this? One of the ways that we can ensure that we have more connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this prayer is understand what is meant when you say Allahu Akbar. When you enter into this prayer and you say Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, Allah is the greatest, the thoughts that you were thinking about, your issues that you had in your life, Allah is greater than them. Allah is greater than the sports game you're watching or thinking about. Allah is greater than your iftar. Allah is greater than the work that you have tomorrow and your homework that you have yet to do. Remind yourself of this. When the imam is reciting the prayer, your heart might get distracted once more. But understand that again, after this point, once the imam has finished with his recitation, you will say Allahu Akbar one more time when he goes into ruku'. Remind yourself in this moment that what I was thinking about compares and is nothing compared to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another way that we can increase in the concentration of our prayer is to understand what it is that we are saying. In fact, this is perhaps the greatest way by which we can increase our khushu', to understand the words of the Quran. Not just the sound of the Quran, but what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying. And a person with a basic understanding of the Arabic language could understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ in the Quran, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَى. And he says, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, you say, Alhamdulillah. When Allah says, قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهِ, then you say, صَدَقَ اللَّهِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحِ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, This is Sighatul Amr. You say, Subhanu Rabbi al-A'la. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fasabbih bismi Rabbika al-Azim, then in this moment, you say quietly and silently to yourself, you say, Subhanu Rabbi al-Azim. These are ways that you can connect with the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that inna Allahu malaikatu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima, you say Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad. When you come across an ayah of Jahannam, you say Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minan nar. And when you come across that you're asking refuge from the fire of Jahannam. When you come across an ayah of Jannah, you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah, quietly to yourself. This is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آتِينَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. You're giving the Quran the right of its recitation. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those are those that truly believe in it. That's one way that we can increase in our concentration in our salah, among many other ways that perhaps you could mention. But we'll stop here with respect to that. Another element as well is with respect to our dua. As we referenced, there are some people, the only dua they make in the month of Ramadan is when the imam is making the dua qunut, Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, and you're saying ameen. You don't even know what you're saying ameen to. You don't even know sometimes what you are saying ameen to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran the dua of some of the anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. I'll talk about one of them. And that is the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the beginning of Surah Maryam, he says that Kafha ya ayn sad dhikru rahmati rabbika abadahu Zakariya, that he's going to mention to you the rahmah, the mercy that he had to a slave Zakariya alayhi salam. What did Zakariya alayhi salam do? Idh nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya, that in the middle of the night he used to make a quiet, secret dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is actually more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because your heart is attached to it. When nobody else sees you, this is a personal dua. You're not simply calling out and just saying ameen to something you don't understand. But it is something that you actually yourself need, perhaps even in your own language. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned by Qatada in the tafsir of this ayah, he mentions that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ قَلْبُ التَّقِيِّ وَيَسْمَعُ صَوْتُ الْخَفِيِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the heart that has taqwa, and he hears the quiet dua of the one that is, and the sound of the one that is calling out to him. So ensure that your dua is at a higher caliber and a higher level in these last 10 nights of Ramadan. And remember that وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Right after talking about the verses of Ramadan, Allah says that if my slave calls out to me, know that I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the dua of the one that calls out when he does so. Let us make our dua a higher caliber within this month of Ramadan. When it comes to going on with respect to the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ رَأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا. He is saying that at this point when he is making a dua, and what he was making a dua will come will come and be known in a little while here as well. He is saying that he was one that his bones were feeble and weak, and his hair became white. This is a reminder for those that might have some white hair as well, that look at the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam at this point in his life. And he says that, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيَّ. I was never disappointed. I never had su'ul dhan. I never thought ill of the dua that I make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know for certain that it's going to be accepted. Is our dua of this caliber or not? Ask yourself this question. Now when you go further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dua that you made. He said, وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. He wanted a son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually granted to him Yahya, John the Baptist. Again, this is Good Friday. We believe him to be one of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one that was close to Isa alayhi salam as one of his disciples and helpers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave him eventually Yahya, which is John the Baptist. This was the son of Zakariya alayhi salam, and Zakariya was a caretaker of Maryam. But the reason why he wanted a son was not simply to have a son and continue his lineage. What was the reason that he gave? He said, إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. I fear my family and those relatives that after I go, will they be misguided? When do we ever, as a believer, make this type of dua? That what is going to happen to the community of Islam after we go? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this was the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, why he made it. He wanted to ensure the propagation of the teachings of Islam and the traditions of Islam. What can you do in your capacity to ensure that after you are gone, the Muslims are still benefiting? Whether it is building masajid, and you will see this benefit in Jannah. مَنْ بَنَى مَسْجِدٍ لِلَّهِ بَنَى اللَّهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِثْلَهُ. That whoever builds a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, Allah will build like for them a house in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to see what are you going to do to leave behind for the coming generation. And this was the foresight that we see in Zakariya alayhi salam. And we need to ask ourselves this question. It could also be that we're making dua for our children. And to this, let us look at the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We all know the famous story when he left the Kaaba, and he left the place of the Kaaba rather, when Ismail alayhi salam was there with Hajar alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he walked a short distance away. And when he could no longer see them, then he made a dua. And when you look at the human being, they have a hierarchy of needs. As was mentioned by one of the non-Muslims, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. He talks about the physiological needs, the need of food and drink, the need of shelter. Then a step above this, you have social needs as human beings. You need a community, you need a family. People that don't have this sometimes become sad and depressed. We are social beings. Then once you have this, then you look and you think about the highest point, which is self-actualization and thinking about your spiritual needs. This is how we defined it. And you might think that when Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaving Hajar alayhi salam and Ismail in the valleys of Mecca, بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ, there's nothing there. What would the dua you would think that you would make for those people? Perhaps for those individuals in Gaza, we might make the dua, those that are starving, those that are in need of food. What dua do you think we would make? Oh Allah, grant them food. You might think this to be the first dua. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam start with? He flipped this pyramid upside down because he starts off by رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Oh Allah, make them from those that establish prayer. And think about this for your children. You might want them to have a good job, but what about their iman? Because if they don't have food, but they have their iman, like our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. That is the great victory. If you don't have this iman, you are completely lost. What was the first part of his dua? رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. The next part he says, وَجَعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ فَجَعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. That after this point, make people's hearts attached and inclined towards them. When the tribe of Jurhum came and they intermarried with Ismail alayhi salam, and then started the city of Makkah to Mukarramah and the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was the second part. And the third part, then he says, وَرُزُقُهُم مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Only after this does he mention to give them food, and even this food is connected back to their thanks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the dua that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made. Are we making this type of dua, especially for those that are parents and those that have children? We make dua for this world, but do we make dua for the coming generations after we are no longer here? And do we make dua for the iman of our children? It's an extremely important question and something that we really need to focus more of our attention on in this blessed month of Ramadan. In the final portion of the khutbah, we'll mention some of the virtues of the blessed nights of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah that we all know, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. We have brought down this Quran in the night of Laylatul Qadr, sometimes translated as the night of power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did He do this? The Quran was in what was called Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. Then it was brought down in one go, Jumlatun Wahida, into Baytul Izzah, the honored house in the lowest heaven. Then over a period of 23 years, it was sent down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the ulama, they say that the first verses of the Quran, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, also came down in Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. What does the word qadr mean? The word qadr is often translated as the night of power. But this word qadr has three meanings, or three definitions. The first meaning is it means sharaf. If you say someone is dhu qadrin, a person of honor. This night is a night which is honored, which has honor within it. The second definition or explanation of this word qadr refers to the fact that as Allah explains in another place of the Quran, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ, that on the night of Laylatul Qadr, إِنَّا أَنزَلَّهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ, the Quran was sent down on a blessed night, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ, all of the matters of the world, who will live, who will die, who will be happy, who will be sad, who will be sick, who will be healthy, who will get their job and who will lose their job, this is in the preserved tablet, Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, and the angels, they take this and they write this down and they enact this for the coming year. This is referred to the Qadr, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third explanation of why it's called Laylatul Qadr, Qadr bima'na dayyiq, something which is restrained, something which is constrained. As we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes says in the Quran, Inna Allah yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqadir. Allah sometimes He gives rizq and He expands rizq for certain people, and sometimes He constrains it and makes things difficult for people as well. Why is it called this? Because there are so many malaika that descend in these blessed nights. As the hadith mentions, that إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ فِي تِلْكِ اللَّيْلَةِ أَكْثَرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ عَدِ الْحَصَى, that angels that are found in this earth on the night of Laylatul Qadr are more than the number of pebbles and stones that we see on the earth. And that is why one of the signs of Laylatul Qadr is the fact that the next morning you will see the sun and it is red and it does not have a lot of beams. It is something which is حَمْرَاء ضَعِيفَ. The shams is حَمْرَاء ضَعِيفَ. It is red with limited rays. And this is one of the signs of Laylatul Qadr after the next morning. From this you also understand that Allah tells you and gives you a sign after the night, not before it. Because if it was before it, people would only worship on this night and forget about actually trying to worship all of these 10 nights of Ramadan. And that is one of the reasons and wisdoms for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us exactly when the night of Laylatul Qadr is, so that we try to get reward in every single one of these nights and we have sincerity, and those that really want it would truly seek out the blessings of this blessed night of Laylatul Qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that are able to catch it. By the way, one of the reasons for which the Prophet ﷺ was not given the night of Laylatul Qadr, he was about to come out and tell the companions when exactly it happens. The reason why he was restricted, or he forgot, or was made to forget, was because there were two companions that were arguing with each other. This goes to show that one of those things that we need to stop doing as a community and as individuals is being people that are argumentative. As it is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he says, إِنَّ أَبْغَضُ الرِّجَالِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَلَدُّ الْخَصِمِ, that among the worst men, the ones that Allah hates, are those individuals that love to argue. We lost knowing the exact night of Laylatul Qadr because of this type of argumentation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and preserve us. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, this is what is meant by Laylatul Qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, how do you know what Laylatul Qadr is, or what will make you know what it is? Showing the greatness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's repetition of this. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, this night is greater than 1,000 months of worship, 83.3 years of worship. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ, in it descend the angels of, as we have mentioned, and Jibreel alayhi salam, Ar-Ruhul Amin, also comes down in this night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that are able to catch this blessed month and this blessed night specifically of the month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those whose actions are judged by its ending. We might have failed in the first portion of Ramadan, but in the last portion of Ramadan, let us ensure everything that we can do, everything in our capacity, in terms of our ibadah, in terms of our charity, in terms of our charity to the people of Gaza, in terms of our dua towards them as well, and ensuring that we maximize our ibadah in these blessed months and nights, our blessed days of Ramadan, is ensured. Innamal a'malu bil khawatim, our actions are in accordance with the ending. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin muslimat fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبدر حمد وأكمله وزكاه وأشمله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضل وشرف لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين، اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة، اللهم انصر المسلمين المجاهدين في غزة. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين، اللهم ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى وهو حر عزيز. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا، اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على النعم زدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.